Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington. And first, as we start to move into later portions of June, we start thinking a little bit more about the trade season. And I wanted to find out, what is the tenor of trade talks, I guess, as they start to materialize? The Pirates are 5.5 games back entering play today. That in itself would put them no worse than a second-place tie in every other division in baseball, but right now the Pirates, of course, in fifth place in this division. So how does that, where the Pirates stand within the division, but only 5.5 out, where does that make the tenor of these talks as they start to formulate?
Yeah, and you're right, Joe. This is about the time where I'll start making calls, other GMs will start making calls, and you're trying to get a feel for where clubs are. Clearly, there are teams that are looking to add now. Clearly, there are some teams that have shifted their attention to adding for next year and future years, and there are teams that are in the middle right now that are still looking for strong indications from their club as to where they could best shore up or should they shore up at this point in time. And, you know, we're sitting here 5 games under .500. We've had an 8-game losing streak, a 7-game losing streak, 10 to 13 guys on the IL for long stretches of time. 4/5 of our rotation has spent time on the IL. 2/4, you know, half of our core relievers have spent time either in the IL or in the minor leagues. We've lost, you know, two-thirds of our outfield to injuries. We've lost our starting shortstop. So normally you add those things all together and we'd be sitting here as one of those clubs looking to add for future years and not really thinking about this year. But this club has continued to remain incredibly resilient. They find a way to fight back. Now our job is to combine the pitching that we had in that first month where the conversations on the radio show and with the media were only if we could hit, we'd have a good team. And then now it's if we can only pitch, we'd have a good team because our hitting's turned a corner and we're a top five offense in the National League since, 6 weeks or so. So we're an interesting club. We have our flaws. There's no question about that. We also have a good core that we like. We have young players that are blossoming. We have some veteran players that are fighting their way back in. And we've got some guys that we feel can have some veteran guys that have turned a corner and are playing really well for us. So we're still in that middle ground. Where are we looking to add for this year? Are we looking to add for next year and beyond? And what will become available for us in the market and what makes sense for us as we look to improve this, not only this club, but this organization.
Does the trade front look any different than it did at this time last year because of the more hard deadline on July 31st?
It will. The teams that are looking to add front of the rotation or legitimate leverage relievers or legitimate offensive players, that won't change for them because those players really weren't available in August. But what you did have available in August was a high-priced veteran that you could take on their contract and maybe they'd add depth. They weren't going to be your starting right fielder or your four-hole hitter or your number two starter or your closer, but they could add a mid-leverage reliever. They could add a starting pitcher that would be better than the bottom of their rotation, or they could add an offensive player that provided them with a bat off the bench or maybe was an upgrade on a soft spot that they had. Those options are now gone. And by July 31st, the only way you can add a legitimate external player is you have to do it by July 31st. So a lot of those August trades that you saw sporadically over August as players went through trade waivers, those now either don't happen or they have to happen before July 31st. So it will be an interesting July because you may see more trades earlier. I know back in 08 when we had four legitimate players that we were in conversations on, we didn't force it, but ideally we were hoping to not have four ongoing conversations on what we felt to be some of the better players available at the trade deadline, at least from our organization. We didn't want to have all four of those conversations happening within an hour of the deadline, and we were able to make a move or two before the deadline and then be able to reshift our focus because one club came aggressively after a player.
Yeah, Milwaukee got Sabathia early in July that year. In fact, as well. Let's look back at a trade that you made with the call-up of Jason Martin as the first time that all four players acquired in the Gerrit Cole trade are on the Major League roster at the same time. And the Pirates coincidentally going to Houston here in a couple of days. So it's almost a year and a half since the trade was consummated. What are your thoughts on how the trade has worked out for the Pirates?
Well, the trade was about the 18 club and the 19 club, but also the 20, the 21, and the 22 clubs, because Gerrit Cole was phenomenal for the Astros last year, and you tip your cap to Gerrit. He took huge steps forward with their help, and you tip your cap to him, and he's good for them last year. He's been good for them again this year, and sounds like Garrett's excited to get into free agency as you see and hear things from him. I'm sure Houston's going to do everything they can to keep him. But that was what we knew was real. We knew we had Gerrit Cole for 18 and Gerrit Cole for 19. And was there a right time to make that trade where you bring in players that will help you not only in 18 and 19, but beyond the time that Gerrit would have remained in Pittsburgh? And that was not an easy decision because Gerrit was very talented. For whatever reason, we hadn't been able to get the most out of him the last couple of years that he was here. Houston has done a phenomenal job and deserves credit, much like Ray Searidge has done a phenomenal job with 30 to 40 some pitchers that have come into Pittsburgh and re-hit their ceiling or reached their ceiling. And in Garrett's case, it worked well. The guys that we have, Joe Musgrove, Colin Moran, went on to our major league club, and Joe is establishing himself as a really good young starting pitcher, and we're looking forward to his continue to grow. And Colin Moran is getting better, one of the top 30 or 40 hitters in baseball over the last 6 weeks or so, as he's starting to understand how to tap into that power again with Rick Eckstein and Jacob Cruz and Colin's hard work along the way. And Michael Feliz, he's one pitch away from yesterday from having one of his better outings he's had as a Pirate. The velocity spike, the slider's a good one. There's still a good reliever in here, and Jason Martin was the fourth player in the trade, but yet an important part of the trade for us, and an athletic, interesting young outfielder that filled a hole for us early in the season when he probably wasn't ready to be up here, but has gone back down, and again, we're still working to tap into that athleticism both in the batter's box and out in the outfield. But, you know, I have the hindsight ability to look back and know what else was on the table, and the only other thing that would have been better would have been to hold Gerrit Cole and get the Gerrit Cole the Houston Astros got out of him, and we would have gotten more. The challenge is if we don't get that out of Gerrit Cole, we would have gotten significantly less than we got from Houston. And, you know, hindsight is always the 2020, as so they say, and we felt that at the time it was the right move for us to make, and you know, we're an outcome-based game. Either you win or lose. Either players get better or they get worse. And we like the four players we have, and tip our hat to Houston and Gerrit for what he's done, and be interested to see what Gerrit goes and gets in free agency this year.
And he'll face the Pirates on Tuesday, which will also be interesting when we see that matchup coming up. Oh, real quickly, too, we have to mention another big trade that happened that same week was Brian Reynolds. Kyle Crick, of course. I'm ignoring Crick, who has been fantastic in 2 years out of the bullpen. But I wanted to talk about Reynolds and your thoughts on why it was important to acquire him at that time, if you can harken back to your thought process on why he was an important part of that trade for Andrew McCutchen.
Well, our guys believed he was going to be a very good major league outfielder. And again, as we talked about with Gerrit, Andrew was going to leave Pittsburgh after the 2018 season because we just weren't going to be able to meet that common financial ground and be able to build around him. It's just a harsh reality of baseball. You know, the NHL, I just looked, their salary cap and their salary floor is $20 million apart. The highest salary in baseball to the lowest salary in baseball is $140 to $150 million apart. So that's the difference in the leagues, and the difference in being able to retain players and where salaries go. And so as much as we love Andrew and everything about him, we came to that hard realization that it was going to be difficult to keep him beyond 18. So did we hold him, take another run after it hadn't worked in 16 and 17, or did we add some players that could add value to 18, 19, 20, and beyond? And our group thought Brian Reynolds had a chance to be a really good major league outfielder, a good baseball player, solid defense, can run and throw, can hit with power. We thought the power was coming. Very intelligent, very hardworking young man, and Kyle Crick, our group thought we had a chance to get a high leverage reliever with a wipeout slider, a mid-90s fastball, and a competitor, and that one's worked out well for us.
Yeah, and Brian Reynolds right now the best rookie batting average since 1930 in baseball. So far that's working out well for the Pirates too. We'll take a break. More with Neil Huntington. We'll talk some injuries, get some updates from Neil right after this here on the Pirates Baseball Network. back on the Neil Huntington Show. Pirates and Padres coming up in a bit here. The Pirates going for a sweep of San Diego. And wanted to get updated on some injuries situations. Gregory Polanco, some shoulder inflammation for him, and he's backdated on the injury list, so he could miss as little as a week. But is that more of a minor concern? Is he going to be out for any extended period of time, do you foresee?
Well, I think the spot we need to start with Gregory is how far ahead of schedule he came back. I mean, he fought, he worked, he did everything in his power to get back to help this team win games, and he did. But his shoulder is way ahead of schedule in terms of being out on the baseball field, especially early. As a result, he's got a little bit of inflammation in there. As we talk through it, with Corey Dickerson back now, with Reynolds playing the way he is, with Cabrera and Marte playing the way they are, we thought it was an okay opportunity to kind of take a deep breath. Let's work to get this inflammation out of there. Let's get him as strong as we can. Let's get him feeling as good as we can, and then we'll fold him back in. It could take a little bit of time, or we honestly don't know at this point. But the important, again, I cannot appreciate Gregory Polanco enough for fighting back and working to get back here as soon as he did.
Yeah, because this is the back end of that initial projection for him to return. He returned 2 months ago, so that's a great point to think about it that way. How about Cervelli? Could he come back on this road trip?
Francisco's going to need some time.
That's all right, frog in your throat. That's
frog in my throat.
That's
happened
to me 115,000 times.
So Francisco has had some downtime. Health-wise, he feels good. Body, he feels as good as he's felt in a long time. We've got some administrative steps to work through. They could go relatively smoothly, and it could be early this week. They could take a little bit of time, and it could be at some point this week. But our hope is to get him out on a rehab. I think he's already said he's planning to go out on a rehab this week, and we need to just work through some administrative and medical hoops at the same time. And we need to make sure we continue to have the conversations to put Francisco Cervelli in the situation to have the best post-playing career that he can, because he's going to be a former player a lot longer than he's going to be a player. And we want to make sure that we're helping him have a great post-playing career while we maximize what he's doing during his playing career.
Yeah, when you talk about concussions, they're usually everything's written in pencil, unfortunately, with injuries like that. How about Keone Kelle? I believe I have the date is July 5th when he's eligible to come off the injured list. Is his injury to a point where around that date could be feasible for his return?
He's working through his throwing program, flat ground, bullpen, and then he'll be ready to get into some game situations. But we've got to get through the flat ground portion of it first. He's feeling better. Again, another guy that's worked hard throughout this process and is chomping at the bit to get back. But we just need to make sure we take the right steps to have him come back and be as good as he can possibly be. So still a bit away, throwing program. The longer he's down, the longer it takes to build him back up again, and he's been down a little bit now.
Is Jameson Taillon going to pitch for the Pirates this season? Well, we hear a lot of conjecture out there.
You know, we certainly hope so. When he went down, the plan was to reassess after a month and see where he was, and we weren't making the progress that any of us hoped we would be making at that point in time, and we're at almost the two-month mark now, and we'll reassess again this week and see where we go from here, begin a throwing progression and see how the flexor responds. We're remaining cautiously optimistic. But obviously we would have felt much better if after a month he'd felt ready to go, and unfortunately the body just hasn't cooperated the way any of us had hoped.
Now, is Tommy John surgery, is that, I saw that floated out there, is that something that if it doesn't respond, is that something that might have to take place?
Yeah, I mean, we're in a situation
where... I know
it's
too early right now, today, but...
Yeah, the flexor and the ligament are interrelated oftentimes, and that's why oftentimes you'll see a flexor strain when eventually the player needs Tommy John. So oftentimes you'll see a flexor strain where the player doesn't need Tommy John. So one doesn't necessarily lead to the other, but they are aligned, unfortunately, at times. And a lot of this is, you know, initially it was thought to be muscular in nature and that time would heal the muscle. At this point in time, we're still working through, and we won't truly know until surgery is necessary, whether it's to repair the flexor because the flexor just hasn't healed, and as they're in there they realize that maybe there's more going on, but if the flexor heals on its own, then obviously we didn't need Tommy John. So I wish I could sit here and tell you with 100% certainty that Tommy John's not necessary, but I can tell you that about half our staff. We don't know that Tommy John won't be needed at some point in their careers. Yeah. That's the unfortunate part of our game. But in Jameson's case, we'll see how the assessment goes. We'll see how the beginning throwing program goes and how the body responds.
Yeah, hopefully it's good news for him because we love seeing him out there, of course. Eric Gonzalez is the last name I've got on my list for guys coming back soon, perhaps. Rehab assignment in the near future for him?
Eric will travel to Indy this week.
Okay, good.
And take the next steps in his progression. And if all goes well, then maybe over later this week or into the weekend, he could begin playing games.
Does Kevin Newman stay the starting shortstop? In essence, I know he's playing second base. He's playing a little bit all over. Gung's playing over there. And a lot can change in a couple of weeks. But does he have the inside track if he keeps playing the way that he has, Newman?
Yeah, as we talked about going into spring training, it was going to be a really good battle to who was going to be our regular shortstop and who was going to be the extra player that bounced around the field a little bit. Unfortunately, sometimes when players aren't playing because of injury, other players are getting better, and Kevin Newman's absolutely stepped in and taking this opportunity. That doesn't mean that Kevin Newman will be our everyday shortstop for the next 10 years, but Kevin's earned that opportunity to continue to be the regular. Now, there are also opportunities where maybe against a left-handed starter, Kevin can slide over to to second base, and Eric can play short, and that's our best defensive and arguably best offensive club for that configuration. Eric can spell at third, Eric can spell at second. Kevin can bounce around the field. It's always good, and especially in this modern game where guys can play multiple positions, and Kevin Newman has the ability to, and Eric has the ability to, but Kevin Newman's done a really nice job, and will continue to get those opportunities.
I'm glad to hear that he's getting healthier too, Gonzalez, because that was such a terrible injury, a collarbone suffered a couple of months ago now. We'll take a break here on the Neil Huntington Show. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some pitchers on the Pirates staff. That's as we continue here. Pirates and Padres in a bit here on the Pirates Baseball Network. Back on the Neil Huntington Show, we got the Pirates and the Padres coming up. Pirates going for a three-game series sweep in just a little bit. Wanted to talk some pitching with you now, and we were talking injuries last segment. Forgot about Jordan Lyles, who will make a rehab start today. If all goes well and he pitches well, does he slot back into the rotation his next time around?
That would be the ideal plan. But as we've seen a few times this year, one rehab start may not necessarily prepare the pitcher to come and compete at the highest level the next time out. But hopefully with Jordan, he's had a sim game. He's felt good in that. Hopefully he'll get this rehab start under his belt, and we'll make an assessment from there. But, yes, he could be ready to go the start after.
Okay, and the Pirates have a TBA for Wednesday in Houston. Are you still mulling a number of candidates right now, or how is that shaking out?
It's one of those moves where we probably need to tell the player who's involved in it first.
Okay.
And then it will be once we do that and once everything comes together, then we can eliminate the TBA. So it is to be announced, not necessarily to be determined.
Okay, yeah, that's more of what I was getting at, because sometimes this year it's had to be TBD, not TBA, with all the injuries. And Brault starts today. Is he staying in the rotation for time being? He's pitching well. I mean, I don't see with Lyles coming back, then you still need somebody anyway for a fifth starter.
We do, and we're just in that stretch of time where we've got three off days in 8 days. Part of the comfort with asking Jordan to make a rehab start or allowing him to make a rehab start was that we do have the ability to condense this rotation really until we need a fifth starter again on June 29th is the first time we need a fifth starter again. So we've been able to rest some guys. We've been able to rest the bullpen. And then, Stephen Brault has earned this start. And you could argue he's been our best starter for about 6 weeks now, at least surface ERA-wise, and need to get him to continue to attack the zone, need to get him to continue to make quality pitches. But he has. He's earned this opportunity and is going to continue to push himself to keep this opportunity.
Am I off in saying, not just saying for Wednesday, but you may still consider Keller Agresal, who I thought acquitted himself nicely. JT Brubaker, does he ever factor in as a starter this year? Rookie Davis, would he come back in or even in the bullpen? Those are four names that are guys that are probably chief on the list, I guess, with AAA or in Davis's case, coming back from injury?
Yeah, the throughout the process of elimination, if I answer all four of those, it'll be pretty obvious who's making the start.
Well, no, I just want
to... But, yeah, those would be the names that we'll draw from. We're looking forward to Mitch Keller being able to take that next step. And as we talked about last time, the intent was not to bring him up and send him back out again. The intent was to bring him up and keep him here. When Jordan went down and all of a sudden in a three-day period we needed two spot starts, it became much more challenging to not bring Mitch up to make that one and one more as the rotation fell. It was not really our hope to send him out, but just given the way things have come together, now he technically would be within that 10-day option window in this next spot start. Agrizal had a nice outing against Miami. Rookie Davis is working his way back from injury, and JT Brubaker is working his way back from injury. He's scheduled to have his second rehab outing this week, and having a good stretch of time. But we're going to need to get him stretched out and get him some time against the upper level competition. But we do. We feel very strong that he'll be a good major league starter in the future.
Yeah, I just want to kind of get a feel for the second half of the season, kind of who are the other options if needed for the Pirates going forward. One more question about Pirates pitching. Clay Holmes, who we've always liked from up here, spring training especially, we're seeing more results from him. He's limited power. He's limiting right-handers batting average-wise very well. What's going on with Clay Holmes that's helping him be more successful? Is it just having a steady role and not being up and down from the minor leagues? Is it being successful and gaining more confidence? Is it both? Is it even more things than that?
That part of A, B, C, and then there's probably D, E, and F that go along with it. First full year in the bullpen. Came into spring training as a reliever. Fought to make the club as a reliever. Has had some up and down, but has always had weapons, has always had the really good sinker, has had the power slider, the power curveball, actually has a changeup, which is why we held on to the starter thought for him as long as we could, because he's a starter arsenal. The challenge is the consistency isn't quite there to do it over seven innings or to do it over eight innings. Shorter stints allows him to attack the zone, allows him to let that sinker play down, and he's just done a better job of attacking the zone. And as a starter, sometimes he would get caught into trying to make pitches versus just attacking the zone and letting that power sink play, letting that power slider work as a chase pitch but also work as a strike pitch. And then the curveball he can flip in there, get some swings and misses on it. And it's just confidence, maturity, comfort and roll, results breeding results. We've always worked to not churn this bullpen, because if you're a young reliever, you don't understand that because your starter gave you four innings and you went two innings today, even if you gave up a run or didn't give up a run, that you're the next guy out. So it becomes a negative cycle in which pitchers pitch to not give up runs because they don't want to get sent out. They don't necessarily understand that too often this year Clint has had to use his bullpen because he needs to, not because he wants to win a ball game because of the number of short starts that we've had. And so the relievers get caught up in trying to be perfect versus just being the best that they can be. And hopefully this three off days and 7 and 8 days, while not ideal, will allow our starters to get their feet back on the ground, which we're starting to turn a corner there. We'll allow this bullpen, which is turning a corner, to catch a breath. Richard Rodriguez has been good. Again, Feliz has been good. Holmes has been good. And that Liriano, Crick, and Ben Vasquez continue to be really good.
Yeah, the four straight starts, five innings or more for the first time in 2 months for the Pirates. That's helping things get right out of the Pirates bullpen. We got to pause 10 seconds for station ID here on the Pirates Baseball Network. Take a break. We'll talk offense with Neil Huntington when we wrap up the show right after this here on the Pirates Baseball Network. Back for a final segment with Neil Huntington. Got 4 minutes with you left. I always value your time. Thanks for coming in. I want to give a pop to Jose Osuna. Yesterday with the home run, the go-ahead hit the day before. Here's a guy that he's the fourth longest tenured player in the organization. He signed in 2009 and has been blocked at spots. He's tried to learn new positions and has done pretty well at them for his capabilities. But offensively speaking, he's got 3 pinch hit home runs and 9 at-bats for a young player. I marvel at his ability to contribute, even though he has limited opportunities. Can you talk a little bit about Osuna's travels here to where he is today, starting at third base for the Pirates?
Yeah, Jose just shows up to get better and to help his team win every day. That's his sole goal. you know, there have been times where we've optioned him out because we needed a pitcher and he didn't deserve to go out. There's been times where he had a great spring, but he didn't make the club because of things beyond his control. There have been times where we brought up other players because of things beyond his control, and he just continues to put his head down and work hard to learn right field, work hard to learn third base. He's a good first baseman. We just happen to have a really good first baseman there as well. And he's a guy that you root for. He's a guy that you pull for. He's learning how to get to that raw power, that ability to impact the baseball that he has, and it's showing up. He hit a ball where Stanton hits them the other day in Miami, and that's a huge home run yesterday. And again, just a guy you root for, a guy you want on your team because he just is a quiet professional and you know, a guy that we continue to fight to try to find opportunities for because he is such a good man. He's a good player.
And one other thing you said before the season, that you were thinking that there was potential for growth offensively out of 7 of the 8 positions. Catcher was the most best offensive position in baseball last year for the Pirates. So the other 7. And those other 7 positions, what are you seeing here as we near the midpoint of the season?
Well, in some areas, some absolute improvements. It's hard to argue Josh Bell's not significantly better this year than he was a year ago, and what a joy to watch. Even when he's in what feels like a little bit of a tough stretch, he's still one of the top 30 or 40 hitters in baseball from a productivity standpoint, and we're going to need to continue to work to get him to allow pitchers to make mistakes, because when they make mistakes, he hits it really far. He has such good hand-eye that he will and can expand and still do damage, but he does the most damage when he makes pitchers come to him. Shortstop Kevin Newman and what he's doing is terrific work. Brian Reynolds, whether you consider him a left, right, or a center fielder, any and all, he's swung the bat very well. Marte continues to show those signs. Polanco Dickerson, as they battle back from injury. Adam Frazier, while his surface numbers don't feel great, his indicators are almost identical versus right-handed pitching as they were a year ago. So working to just try to get him to stay the course, man, just stay the course against right-handers. Left-handers, it's been a struggle for him. And Colin Moran is turning a corner and, again, getting to that power the last 6 weeks or so. Also one of the top 40, 50 hitters in baseball from a WRC plus or you know, any advanced analytic that you want to look at. So catching-wise has been a struggle, no doubt. Offensively on the mound, we're more productive with our bats. It feels like. I haven't really looked at our pitchers' numbers yet. I don't enjoy looking at our pitchers' hitting numbers, but
they're better.
We're better. So do we have room to go? Yes. And those numbers are overall, especially when you consider we did have a tough month of April from an offensive standpoint. So the offense is turning a corner. We've got a good core of young players. We've got some guys, Cole Tucker and Kevin Kramer and Ke'Bryan Hayes on the horizon that can help us. And now we just need to get it all together and synced and get on a run.
Weighted runs created plus. Nice reference, Neil. Always thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Sure.
That's Neil Huntington, Pirates General Manager on the Neil Huntington Show. Pirates and Padres coming up next on the Pirates Baseball Network.